Good morning. Today's daf and getting nun vav. We're going to be starting with the Mishnah Nun Hey Amud Beis. Today's daf is going to the beginning of Agarata that deals with Chorin Vayishenin. The reason why we're going to be dealing with the Agarata for today is because of the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah is located in the fifth parak of Gittin, which means that it talks about takanas, various takanas that were instituted in order to protect. So here, what we're looking to do is protect landowners and during a very specific historical period of time. So let us put ourselves historically by Shani. And that's going to be the theme of today's daf. Tomorrow's daf, the next number of dapim, we're all going to be dealing with the Gadata regarding Chorin Vayishenin. So let's just go historically to the Chorin Vayishenin. Chorin Vayishenin takes place in the year 70 of the Common Era. And obviously those that destroyed the Vayishenin of the Roman Empire. So we'll be speaking today about Roman emperors, and we'll go to Nero today and other Roman emperors and Roman conquerors, and that's going to be most of today's daf. But the Mishnah, however, before we get to the Agarata, the Mishnah is going to be dealing with the following. We're going to be talking about a group of people called Sakrikon, just as a brief historical review, not a historical review, but you can see Tosas over here, second class Tosas on the Amud Yehuda Baruga Amalcha Birushalmi. So Tosfos over here quotes a Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi Gazru Gezer al Yehuda. So when the Romans decreed, they decreed on Yehuda. In other words, even though it's interesting at that point historically, how many tribes were there? So there was Yehuda, there was Binyamin. So quite frankly, a little bit unclear in terms of my understanding of the Yerushalmi, meaning who else was there. But regardless, let's just deal with the point that Tosfos is making. So Yerushalmi Gazru Gezer al Yehuda. So they have a Mesorah that Yehuda killed Esav. So who killed Esav? So the Yerushalmi says that there was a tradition that Yehuda did, and I'm sure you've heard of another tradition. Tosos actually brings down the other tradition. Well, before that. So Tosos quotes the Yerushalmi, Yisifrei, and both of them point to Yehuda being the one who kills Esav. However, Vesav per kamat sota, and by the way, it goes without saying, but let's say it. And that is, of course, that Esav is a progenitor of the Roman Empire, meaning Rome is a descendant of Esav. So that's one tradition. Tosfos notes the Gemara at the end of Sota, not the end, sorry. In the first parak of Sota, Da'am Rechushim ben Dan Shaka Kupa Machia Risha, Deisav and Asra Einav and Aflua Kared Yaakov, and the Gemara in Sota says that Chushim ben Dan is the one who killed Esav. Tosfos here gives details. The Gemara in Sota gives a lot of details, but anyway, so we have mixed reporting in terms of who was the one responsible for the death of Esav. So either it was Yehuda or it was Chushim ben Dan. Hashem Elam Meis Ba'osa Ha'ka'at Sha'amar Alav Yehuda V'Hargo, and Tosfos just simply says is that it doesn't have to be two different sources. It could be that both Chushim ben Dan and Yehuda were the ones responsible for the killing of Esav. Okay, Chushim ben Dan gave him the first blow. Esav killed him. Okay, regardless, whatever the case is. So obviously, Esav, meaning Rome, obviously had wanted to kill the Jews as a whole, destroy Yerushalayim, destroy Klal Yisrael as a whole, but had a particular disdain for that of Yehuda. Okay. That is just a little bit of background. And with that, so what they would do is they would come and kill. And what the Jews of Yehuda would do is that they would try to bribe in order so that they would live. And what would they give up as bribery? They would give up their property and land. And so now you had this group of people, the Sikrikon, sorry, my pronunciation probably is terrible, but doesn't matter. You had this group of people who basically were bribed with land so that they won't kill. So it was a subgroup within the Roman people. And so the question over here, now that's the history, that's the background, and the question is a very simple question. So now the Sikrikon are the owners of the land? In other words, they rightfully own the land? Someone buys from the Sikrikon. So does that mean now that they made an actual purchase? Can the original owner come back and say, hey, give me back my land? So that's going to be the halachic discussion of today. So all the halach of today is going to be front-loaded in the beginning of today's year. And then after that, as you'll see, for the remainder of today's year, it's going to be all Agarata. So lo haya sikrikon. So sikrikon is the name of a people, but when the Mishnah is describing sikrikon, it's really talking about the legislation of sikrikon, the din sikrikon. So lo haya sikrikon be Yehuda beharuge mechama. So me haruge mechama ve'elech yesh ba sikrikon. So before haruge mechama, so obviously the Mishnah is breaking it up into two time periods. One haruge mechama, right, when it was act of war. Okay, now again, historically, where are we? So I would assume, of course, that we're at the Churban Bayis Sheni, but I'm not really sure which wars the Mishnah is making reference to. And okay, and it obviously be good to know, but it is a historical point. And so I'll just simply say, like the Mishnah does, Haruge Mechama. So at the throes of war, so the legislation was not in effect. After the throes of war, so now the legislation is in effect. Now, we don't know what the piece of legislation is yet. That's coming up. In other words, we'll understand better. But just as a simple understanding of the Mishnah, we're breaking it up into two time periods, one when the legislation was not put into effect, and the other when it was. Good. So, Ketzad, Lakach Sikrikon. So, let's say, Lakach Misikrikon. So, now, let's see how this legislation would work. So, let's say someone purchased from the Sikrikon. Now, remember, the Sikrikon were the ones who were ready to kill a Jew. Jew basically put up his land as bribery in order to save his life, save his own life. And now the Sikrikon are the, we're going to call owners, but we'll put that in quotes. They're the owners of the land. Someone bought from the Sikrikon. So chaz v'lakach mi balabayis. So mechobato. So if now, let's say, an interested buyer goes and buys first from the Sikrikon, then goes back to the original owner and says, hey, can I buy your land? Meaning the Sikrikon are not the real owners of the land. Right? In other words, they basically extorted that land. So they're not the real owners. So if your order of operations is that first I'm going to buy from the Sikrikon, and then afterwards I'm going to buy from the original owner, so mechobato. That doesn't work. In other words, that is not considered a valid sale. However, let's reverse that order. Now, let's start off with, first you go to the original owner and say, look, I know what happened to that land, meaning that land was extorted from you. Okay, but I'm interested in buying it. So first I'll go to you, in other words, because I'm recognizing you to be the true owner of the land. Then afterwards, I'll go to the Sikrikon. So if you go in that order, so Mechel Kayim. So then it would be a valid sale. Okay, so basically now, we understand better what exactly is this piece of legislation, and that is that when you want to buy a land from a Sikrikon, so you have to go about it in a specific order. First, you have to approach the original owner, who really is the true owner, and then you negotiate with the Sikrikon. If you do it in that order, valid sale. If you reverse the order, invalid sale. Lakach min ha'ish, chazav lakach min ha'isha. And now the Gemara points out, you know, we also have this kind of model even not during the period of the Sikrikon. But rather we have this type of model when it comes to husband and wife. Right? Wife goes into a marriage, she comes in with property, so it's her property, but he is he's the CEO of that property. Not exactly. In other words, he has rights to the property. He has the parents to the property. So in other words, so lakach min ha'ish and chaz v'lakach min ha'isha mechobato. So if first I go to the husband, and then I go to the wife. In other words, they really have a joint ownership over the property. And joint ownership is not a really fair legal description of what it is. It's really principally hers. He just has a lot of rights to it. So but if I go to him first and then I go to her, so that doesn't work. Remember, what do you have to do? You have to first go to the true owner first, negotiate with the true owner first, and then you can go to the one who's got certain rights or control over it. So minayisha v'chazav lakach minayish mechel kayem. Okay. So just like in the case of Sikrikon, in order to negotiate the purchase, you first have to go to the true owner, and then afterwards you can deal with the Sikrikon, and that would be valid. Same thing when you're buying property from husband and wife. In other words, it's her property. You first have to deal with her; she's the true owner, and then afterwards with the husband. Now, all this is v'zum mishnah rishona. This is all the Mishnah Rishona. Mishnah Rishona basically was the first approach that was taken by Beis Din. Beis Din shal achareihem, amru lokech misikrikon, nosin labalam revia. Then came a an amended version of this law. The amended version of this law is that you buy from the Sikrikon, and what you do is you go to the original owner, right, the true owner, and you give him a quarter of the value of the land. So basically, you're going to end up having to pay the original owner a quarter of it. Eima saibiz manchein biyadan likach. Now, that's only when the original owner didn't have any money in which to buy it. The original owner has first rights over everybody else for a good reason. They were the owner of the land. That land was extorted from them. So they have first rights before anyone else. Rabbi Hoshe Beis Menimnu. And again now, after another vote, in other words, there was a lot of legislation that went into what to do with these properties that were taken away from the Jews. So Rabbi now, interesting obviously, that Rabbi is basically living during the second century. So when exactly did the Sikrikon legislation begin? Again, I'm guessing, but I don't know. I'm guessing sometime around Churban Bayis Sheni. So that takes us, right, 70. That's during the first century. So Rebbe's based in now is, right, towards the end of the second century. So again, I'm ballparking it right now. This is a sketch. And that is that we're about 100 years later. So Rabbi Hoshe based in Venimnu, Shem Bifnei Sikrikon, Shem Shasa Bifnei Sikrikon, Shem Asar Chodesh, so Kolakodim Likach Zacha, Avanosin Labam Revia. If, let's say, after the Sikrikon take the land, and the land goes unredeemed from its by its original owner for 1 year, so at that point in time, he forfeits his first right of purchase. In other words, he has a right of purchase from the Sikrikon, but that only goes up to a year. After a year, now anyone who wants to can go ahead and purchase it, but with a quarter of its price having to also be sent to the original owners.
Okay. A chomesh is really a quarter because the Gemara uses, but is a revi really a third? Is it for all fractions of the Gemara?
Fair question. I don't know. Right? I'd be guessing. I don't know, but it's a fair question. Hashta haruge mechama loya basikrikon. So haruge meharuge mechama veelach yesh basikrikon. So what the Gemara doesn't understand is just simply the Mishnah broke it up into two periods of time. In other words, there's Haruge Milchama and post Haruge Milchama, and it's a little bit difficult to understand. Meaning, if we're not going to legislate Sikrikon law during war, what are we going to do after the war is over? And again, just a simple understanding of the Mishnah, and everything's calm. Now we're going to legislate Sikrikon law? Like, that it doesn't make sense. So I'm a Rav Yehuda. So lo dana ba din Sikrikon kamar. So first of all, I gave away the answer. We're not talking about Sikrikon, meaning the people. We're talking about the legislation. And now Rav Ashi says, let's break it down not to two, but to three different historical periods. So gzeirasa kamaisa kol delo katal liktalu. So first of all, let's go over the history of how bad it was for the Jews during this Roman period of time. And again, right, the Gemara is really not clear which Roman period of time. Meaning the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but even well after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Romans were persecuting the Jews for an extensive period of time. Right, going into the second century beyond. But in other words, into the second century, that's Bar Kokhba. And that's Hadrian, and that's real Roman persecution. And I say real Roman persecution, not to the exclusion of the previous century where they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, we're going over at least two centuries of persecution. And so it's, in other words, the Gemara here is breaking it up, but I'm just being honest. I don't know exactly what periods we're breaking it up into. Anyway, so called the Lokato Liktalihu. So in other words, it was at its worst where the Roman legislation was that if you don't kill a Jew, you're going to be killed. In other words, we're not just encouraging, we're telling you to go kill Jews. Mitziyasa, then we're going to go to a next period of historical time, and that is called the Kato Lesi Arba Zuze. You're allowed to kill Jews, it's just going to cost you some money. And finally, Basraisa, called the Kato Liktalu. And then finally, it became outlawed, it was illegal to kill a Jew. Okay, so obviously now we're going over like basically three periods of time where in the first, you were told to kill. And if not, you would be killed. Second, you can kill. And third, you can't kill. So Hilkach, Kamaisa Mitziasa, Kevin Dekat Liagav Unse Gamra Makne. So, oddly enough and interestingly enough, so during the first two of these periods, so when a Jew gives his land, he gives it Belev Shalem. In other words, it's a Kenyan. Obviously, in other words, we're being very clinical about this. It's obviously unfortunate, but in other words, from a Kenyan standpoint, it is transactional. In other words, you know your life is really in the balance. And so therefore, when you're giving the land, you're giving it as a real transaction. So Gamar Makne. And Basraisa, so Amrei Haidna Lishkol Amachatavan Lebedinam. Now, once we get to the third period of time where it's illegal to kill Jews, now, that doesn't stop them from killing Jews, but it's illegal to do so. So now when you're giving up your land for in exchange for your life, that's not a real transaction. Because you know that he really shouldn't be killing you. He's threatening you, but he really shouldn't be killing you. It's illegal for him to do so. So now when you give up your land, that's not a transaction. You're just basically putting it up there as right now to buy time. Right? And good. And that's exactly the point. And so therefore it's not a real transaction. And therefore now we're going to put in all the legislation of Sikrikon. So in other words, it's during this third period of time where all the Sikrikon legislation is going to go in. We're basically, and again, go back to the Mishnah. There are various phases of the Sikrikon legislation. But basically, he is not the real owner. You're the real owner. And now if somebody wants to negotiate, they have to first negotiate with you, then with him. You have a buyback option. You have the first right option. That first right option is only extended for a year, etc., etc. So, to fully understand all of this, first you have to know the three historical periods of time that we just described. Then you're going to take the Mishnah's Sikrikon legislation, put it in, but only there during the third period of time, not the first two. And then you're also going to follow the various amendments to the legislation. So I admit, by the way, that was a lot that we did in a little bit of time, but hopefully I give all of us just a good sense of how to break all this down. I'm Rav Yochanan my Dichsiv. Okay, and here we begin. The Gemara here we're on the bottom of Nun Hayamid Beis, and we're going to be beginning the Agarata with Chorin Beis Hamikdash. And yes, it's been noted already the coincidence of we're in the 3 weeks and we're doing the Agarata of the Chorin Beis Sheni, and unfortunately, it's all too appropriate. So, I'm Rav Yochanan my Dichsiv Ashrei Adam Efachi Tamir Maksha Libo Yipol Bera'al. Okay, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. So, a person who is Mefachi Tamir, someone who's always concerned, worried, right? I'd say anxious, but it's not a good way to describe something that we should always be. We should not always be in a state of anxiety, but we should be concerned. So Ashrei Adam Mefachi Tamim Makshalibo Yipol Biram. So and basically be careful about your actions. In other words, if we do not take enough care about our actions, so dire consequences. And the Gemara is going to give three examples. So Kamsa Bar Kamsa Charu Yishalem Atanagor V'Tanagolosa Charuv Tormalka and Ashaka Derispa Charuv Beitar. So three destructions: Yerushalayim, Tormalka, and Beitar. All were prompted by incidents, and we're going to go over the three incidents and the destruction of Yerushalayim, Tor Malka, and Beisar. So, Akamsa Bar Kamsa Charev Yerushalayim. So, over the episode, the incident of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. So, and the Gemara gives us a story. I'm going to go through this quickly, meaning obviously, right? These stories, anyway, we've heard, we know, and I'm just fitting it into the format of the Daf Yomi. So, I'm going to go through these stories quickly. Obviously. Generally speaking, people, myself included, like to take more time with it, but that's not what we're going to be doing this morning. So there was a person who really liked Kamsa, really disliked Bar Kamsa. So he made a suuda, he made a party. So he says, okay, here's my invite list. Put Kamsa on the list. I like him. So, Azal Isilei Bar Kamsa. So, okay, the guy made a mistake. Instead of inviting Kamsa, he invited Bar Kamsa. Asa Ashkeche Davi Yasev. And so now, at the party, at his own party, so he's sitting down and look who came to the party, Bar Kamsa. I hate Bar Kamsa. What is he doing here? So, Amalei Michti, Ha'u Gavra. So, Baldevava Da'u Gavrahu. So he says, you're my enemy. So, my Baisacha. So, what are you doing here? So kumpuk. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to get out right now. Amalei hol v'asai shavkan v'yavin alachdemei mad achina v'shasina. So Bar Kamsa pleads this case and he says, do me a favor, do not embarrass me publicly. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say that, but, you know, it's kind of obvious. In other words, don't throw me out of the party in front of everybody else. I'll pay for my meal. So Amalei lo. So the host says, no. Amalei yavin alachdemei pagadus adas. So what I'll do is I'll pay for half of the party. I'd rather not get embarrassed. So Amalei lo. Again, the host said no. Amalei yavin alachdemei kulesu dasech. So he says, I'll pay for the whole party. I do not want to be embarrassed. So Amalei lo. So nakde biyade v'ukme v'afke. So the host grabs this Bar Kamsa by the hand and literally throws him out of his party. So Amar Hova Hava Yasver Rabban V'lamachu Bei Shamamina Kanichaluhu. Now this Bar Kamsa was really put off. And he said, and you know, the Chachamim were there at the party. And you know they didn't say anything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over to the Roman government and I'm going to speak Lashon Hara about the Jewish people. That expression, Eichel Behu Kortza, right, it's kind of hard to literally explain. I'm going to eat a little bit, but it's an expression. It means that I'm going to be saying, I'm going to speak Lashon Hara. So as also he goes, Amar Leila Kesar Mardu Be Yudai, and he sends the following message over to the Caesar, and that is that the Jewish people are rebelling against you. It's a libel, obviously, but in the condition that he was in at that point in time, publicly embarrassed, feeling that the Chachamim did not support him at all, in fact, supported the host. So fine. So he trumped up a charge against the Jewish people. Amrle mi yemar. So the Caesar challenged him. Are you sure? So Amrle shadalu korbana v'chazitzi mekarvin alei. So he said, I'll tell you what, you can test my theory. And that is send a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, see if they're ready to offer the korban. So azu shadalu biyade egla tilsa. So the Caesar sent a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. Non-Jews are, in fact, allowed to send korbanos to our Beis HaMikdash. That's allowed. Only in Ola, not a Shlomit, but anyway, perfectly allowed. V'hadei dekaasi shadei be'moma. V'nifasayim v'amarlei bedukin sheba'ayin. Now, while Bar Kamsa was delivering the korban to the Beis HaMikdash to be offered, so he puts a mum in the korban. Subtle mum. Either a split of the lip or dukin sheba'ayin, right? Some sort of imperfection that he put into the eye of the animal. B'duchten delididan avamum avalididu lav mumahu. Now, it was subtle, so that for us, it would be a physical blemish that would be a psul. It would reject it as a carbon. For them, however, it wasn't a mum. I got a little bit caught up in this line of the Gemara. For them, it's not a mum. What does it mean? For them, it's not a mum. If they're offering a carbon in our Beis HaMikdash, what difference does it make whether for them it is or it isn't a mum? It's our mizbeach. It's our rules. So Rashi over here, Rashi already figured what I was thinking. Rashi says that when they offer karbanos on their bamas, so therefore for them, the only thing that would disqualify a karban for them would be mechusar eiver. It's got to be missing a full limb. So it's interesting. In other words, Rashi makes it sound like they had some form of altar karbanos, something along those lines. Anyway, so for them, they didn't feel like it would be a mum. Savra aban lekruve. So now, mishum mashal machos. And so now, the debate begins. So here we have a carbon that was delivered by Caesar to offer on the Mizbeach. However, it's got a mum, but he's not going to recognize the mum. And so should we offer it or should we not offer it? So, and obviously this is halachic and it's political. So on one hand, shalmachos, meaning, yeah, let's offer it. Because over here, in other words, the Romans are the world empire at the time. So let's offer it. So Amalu Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkum los Yomru b'alei mum kreven l'gabei mizbeach. So Zechariah ben Avkum says, yeah, but think of the precedent. And we offer a b'al mum on the mizbeach. So people are going to say that you're allowed to offer a b'alei mum on the mizbeach. So Savar l'mikdalei. Okay, so offering it on the mizbeach is not an option. So let's kill Bar Kamsa. In other words, because who's going to tell Caesar that it was or wasn't offered? Bar Kamsa. So let's just kill him. So d'lalei v'alema. So that he won't go back and report. Amalu Rabbi Zechariah, Yomru, Matil Mum, Bekachim Yareg. against the Zachariah ben Avkomo said, look at the precedent. In other words, people are going to say, oh, let's get this straight. So you put a blemish on an animal that was going to be brought as a carbon, and you're subject to the death penalty, which is not correct. It's not true. And so it's going to send out a bad precedent. So I'm Rav Yochanan. So now Rav Yochanan is commenting. And everyone understands that. In other words, Rav Yochanan's commentary is coming years after the fact. Right? He's a first generation Amora, but obviously he's living well after Churban Beis Mikdash. So it's commentary on what just happened. On Vesenuso shall Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkomos Hechrivas Batin Vesarfas Hechalena Vehiglisinu Meartzenu. The humility, but he's using the word humility over here not in a positive way. In other words, is the Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkomos basically just went way too within the letter of the law, and he should have been more flexible. Now, Rav Yochanan was commenting on which of the two points, point number one or point number two. I'm not sure, right? I opened the question. I'm not ready for discussion now, but, you know, I'll just raise the question, right? Which of the two points should they have been more flexible of? Offering the Baal Mum on the Mizbech, killing Bar Kamtza, not clear, but in other words, Rav Yochanan says there should have been more flexibility. The humility or the inflexibility of Zechariah ben Avkomos was responsible for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, obviously, that's a really big statement, by the way, because what was responsible for the Churban Beis HaMikdash? A lot of factors, right? In other words, there's not one factor that you could point to, right? That's the case always. In other words, we love simplifying things, and it's easy to simplify things. It's not that simple, but Rav Yochanan, however, is giving what he feels is fair criticism of the events.
Was because he was a
Mosul. Right. And the Gemara, right, and it's so funny, the Gemara doesn't mention it at all, right, that he was a Mosul. And for sure, I agree. Shadar Elavein Lanir and Kisar. So, so they sent the following to Nero, right? Presumably we are talking about Nero. So I did a little bit of research, right? My crack research team, otherwise known as Google. So I did a little bit of research. Nero died in 68. So in terms of the years, it works. So Shadri Lavela Nero Kesar. So the message was in fact sent to Nero. So that the Jews would not accept the carbon. And so I guess Bar Kamsa was right. I guess we are looking at a rebellion. Shadr Gira Lemizra Kika Ase, sorry. So when Nero came to Yerushalayim, so Agira lemizrach asa nafal biyushalayim lemarav asa nafal biyushalayim le arba ruchas hashamayim asa v'nafal biyushalayim. So he shot an arrow in the air, and every time he shot it in the air in any one of the four directions, and ended up turning and pointing to Yerushalayim. Amale yelnuka psokli psukayach. So in other words, basically what he's doing is he's trying to seek some sort of sign from above, whether or not it's going to be in his favor to try to conquer Yerushalayim. So the arrows literally pointed in that direction. Then he goes to a child and he says, okay, I want to hear a pasuk, right? In other words, when you want Nevuah, and you're after the period of Nevi'im, we're well after the period of Nevi'im, Nevuah ended by the beginning of Bayis Sheni, and we are right now 420 years later. Right? And I'm going with our timeline. So now he wants Nevuah, so he goes to a child, and he tells the child to quote a pasuk, and that's how you get Nevuah. So Amar Leben Asatis Nikmasi Be'adam Yad Ami Yisrael. So the child quotes the pasuk in Yechezkel. Okay. And so basically, Akash Baruch Hu says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my vengeance on Edom. Edom, again, is Esav, is Rome. And Biyad Ami Yisrael, meaning what Rome is going to do is that Rome is going to conquer the Jewish people. I'm going to be upset with Rome, and I'm going to take my vengeance out on Rome because they destroy the Jewish people. So now Amar, so Nero now understands. Nero says, I get it. So in other words, I'm basically going to be a tool. I'm going to destroy Yerushalayim, but then Akash Baruch Hu is going to wipe his hands on me. I'd rather not be a tool. Arak azavigai v'nafik mine Rabbi Meir. So he left. In other words, he left the fold, and and left the fold. He left the Roman fold, and he goes and converts. And Rabbi Meir is a descendant of Nero. Okay, in the secular history books, right? There's nothing to corroborate this, which is fine. Meaning, this is our Masorah. So so obviously I'm going to side with our Masorah, but I'm just simply pointing out that there's no corroboration of this. What's it called? The secular history has them dying by suicide. Which I guess is another way of saying we're not sure. But anyway, so Shadri Lave Las Pinus Kesar. So now they sent a letter to Vespasian, Asa Vitsar Alay Tlashani. Okay, so Vespasian now is going to take over, and so a siege on Yerushalayim now for 3 years. Okay, historically, by the way, right? It's almost perfect. Meaning, secular history has Nero dying in 68. We're talking now about a 3-year siege. So, you know, 71. And I'm sure we could be forgiving about a year or two. But we're right. In other words, we're pretty much right around this time of Churban Bayis Sheni. So a 3-year siege. So now, in terms of the 3-year siege, so that means, of course, that there is nothing coming into Yerushalayim for 3 years. So how are we going to sustain now while being insulated and having nothing allowed to be coming in? That's the whole point of a siege. So that basically it'll break the people inside. So we have three wealthy people living in Yerushalayim, and that's Nakdima, Megoriam, Ben Kavasavua, Ben Tzitzit HaKasas. So these three wealthy people, and Nakdim, Megoriam, Nakda Lochama Ba'avuro, he was called such because the sun stopped for him. The Gemara in Tanis goes over the story in more detail. Anyway, see the Gemara in Tanis. Ben Kava Savur call on Nichnas the basic Kushu Rav Kikelav Yotze Kushu Savea. Kava Savur, someone goes into his house hungry like a dog, comes out satiated. And Betzitzis Akesus Aitza Tzitziso Negros Agabe Kisasos. And Tzitzis Akesus is because he had Tzitzis dragging on the floor. Igadami Haitza Kisso Mutalis Ben Gedole Rome. Or he had a chair amongst the Roman dignitaries. He had a lot of political clout. Anyway, these are the three wealthy people of Yerushalayim. Chanar malu anezainelu bechita v'sarei, chanar malu b'dechamer v'demilchom mishcha, v'chanar malu b'detzive. And each one that made a pledge that they're going to support Yerushalayim during the siege, the first one with wheat, the second one with wine, salt, oil, and the third one with wood. Shabchur rabbanu l'detzive, the chachamim were most impressed with the one who supplied the wood. Wood of the three was the most expensive commodity. The Gemara points out that Rav Chista, when he entrusted his shamish, obviously Rav Chista is an Amora, years later, but the Gemara is just simply highlighting how much of a commodity wood was. So when Rav Chista would entrust the keys to all of his storehouses to his attendant, he would not give over the keys for the wood. The wood storage house was the most expensive. You want to make one kav of bread, you need 60 kav of wood. Wood is the fuel for the fire. And whatever, it just you need a lot of it. 60 to 1. Now, they were prepared to support for 21 years. Now, there were Jews living in Yerushalayim at the time who were Biyoni. So they were real radicals. Okay, and they were not interested in any kind of negotiation, no peace. In other words, all they were interested in was just revolution and to revolt against the Romans. Amalu Rabbanan Nefek V'Navi Shama Ba'adayim. Now the Chachamim said, let's try peace negotiation. So Lo Shavkino. These Biyonim said, no, that's not what we're interested in. Amalu Nefek V'Navi Karva Ba'adayim. They said that what we should do is we should have war. Okay, so basically you had, not a lot has changed in the last 2,000 years. So basically you had the camp that wanted peace and the camp that wanted war. Okay. So the Chachamim said, yeah, but in other words, we're not going to be victorious. So the Chachamim were not opposed to war, right? In other words, much of our Torah is centered around, sometimes we have to go out to war. It's a mitzvah, sometimes it's a rishus. In other words, the Chachamim spoke war. They just felt that this one would not be successful. So the Biryonim said, okay, so fine. So they saw the Chachamim were not behind their war efforts. So what they did is basically they fast-forwarded. They went to the storehouses of wheat. They burned the entire wheat storehouses down. So now we didn't have food, and now we got desperate. And the Biryonim thought that in doing so, so basically that would lead everyone to the conclusion we have to go to war. Martha Babaisas Atiras the Yerushalayim Havya. Gemara tells a story regarding Martha, the daughter of Baitus, who she was one of the wealthy ones, Yerushalayim Shadat Lishlucha, Ramile Zilai Slesmida. Now during this famine, after the burning of the storehouses, she sends out her attendant to go get food. And specifically, she wanted flour. So Ada Azal Izdave and all the flour was sold. Asa Amarle Smidaleka Chivarte Ika. Now there is some bread left in the market. So Amarle Zil Isili. So Martha says, okay, go back out and go get me the bread. So Ada Azal Izdave, that was sold out. Asa Amarle Chivarnaleka Gushkara Ika. So there is what is elsewhere referred to as Pas Kebar. Okay, okay. It's whatever, an inferior type of bread. So Amrle Zil Isili Ad Azli Zavan Asava Amra Gushkara Leka Kimcha Dasari Ika. That was sold out. She said, but you know what? There's still some barley bread left. Barley bread is from their perspective, the most inferior. It's animal food. So Amrle Zil Isili Ad Azli Zavan. But then when she went to go buy it, that was also sold out as well. Okay. I know it's easy to Monday morning quarterback over here. The right. In other words, she should have get whatever was available. But okay, that's just me Monday morning quarterbacking. So now have a shofa masane. So Amra epok ve'echse iya mishkechan amid lamechal. So now she's walking around. She's walking around without shoes. She's like, I'm going to go out to the market. I'm going to see if there's anything I can buy myself. Esav le part of bekara. Now what she did is that she walked outside and she stepped on excrement. Umesa, she was so disturbed by her foot coming into contact with excrement, and she died. So, Kariyala Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Haraka Becha, Vahanuga Asher Lo Nisa Kaf Ragla. Quoting from the Tochacha at the end of Devarim, so someone who's so dainty, and what happened was that she couldn't handle just a little bit of excrement on her foot. Iga da Arme Gorgasta Rabbi Tzadok Achla, Vistnasa Umesa. In another version of how she died, what she did is that she found the remains of the fig of Rabbi Tzadok, which we're going to get to in just a moment. She ate it, and she, again, was so disgusted by it, and she died. The Rabbi Tzadok Yasef Arban Shalem Betanisa de Lalech Yerushalayim. Okay, the fig of Rabbi Tzadok, what is that a reference to? So the Gemara goes, I'll give you the background to that. Rabbi Tzadok was fasting for 40 years so that Yerushalayim would not die. Right? We have Gemara upon Gemara that describes those last 40 years of the Beis Hamikdash, basically taking us from the year 30 to the year 70. So numerous Gemaras describe those last 40 years, and here's one of them. So basically, on the merits of Rabbi Tzadok, the Beis Hamikdash was not destroyed for those last 40 years. He was so emaciated from fasting for 40 years that you can actually watch the food going down as he's eating it. And when he finally finished fasting, so what they did is they brought a fig. So mayitz mayayhu. So they squeezed it out because there's no way he can put down a fig. In other words, he was so emaciated. Vishadilahu. So he would squeeze the juice out of the fig. He would eat the juice, and the rest of it he would throw out. So the So when she died. Meaning now we're going back. Now we're going to back to Martha. So when she died, she took all her gold, she took all her silver, she threw it into the market. She's like, look, whoever wants it could take it. And the pasuk in Yechezkel that they're throwing their silver out into the street. And by the way, the rest of the pasuk uzehavam linida yiyah, and also the gold as well. In other words, this is Tekim and the Pasuk in Yechezkel. All right, just to understand, historically, Yechezkel was written as a Navi hundreds and hundreds of years earlier. Meaning, but again, that's the whole point of a Nevuah. In other words, the Nevuah is going to go ahead and describe what's going to be happening in the future. Abba Sikar Reish Biryonim de Yerushalayim Bar Achle de Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Hava. So one of the Biryonim was a man by the name of Abba Sikra. And he also happened to have been the nephew of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So in other words, now it's a political drama. In other words, so you have the Chachamim who were interested in peace and negotiation, led by Rav Yochanan Zakkai, and his nephew also happened to have been a member of the Biryonim. So Shalach Lei Tabitzin Legabai. So Rav Yochanan Zakkai says to his nephew, let's have a clandestine meeting. So Asa Amr Lei Ad Emas Avidat Hachi. And so Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai basically he calls out his nephew, right? You and your friends, like you're killing the Jewish people. In other words, you're starving the Jewish people, burning the storehouses, and could you please stop? So Amr Lei, so my Avidi Amin Alu Midi Kaluli. So now the nephew was sympathetic to his uncle, and he said, "I hear you, but if I say anything opposed to the Biryonim, all they're going to do is kill me." In other words, they're extremists. So Amr Lei Chazili Takantali Didi the Epok Eshadavich Hatzalaporta. So the uncle says to the nephew, "Okay, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to help me out a little bit, and maybe I can salvage some of this." Amr Lei Nekot Nashech Bekitzire. So now Abba Sikra says to his uncle Rav Yochanan Zakkai, "Here's what you'll do. So what you'll do is that you'll be like sick. In other words, I want you to start telling." Spreading the rumor that Rav Yochanan Zakkai is ill. Not just ill, critically ill. In other words, let's start a rumor that you're dying. And now what we're going to do is that we're going to fake your death. Now we're going to put you in a coffin and we have to put something smelly in the coffin. Because in other words, you're supposed to be dead and obviously a decomposing body smells. So we'll put something, a foul odor in the coffin. The Agne Gabach, lie down right next to you, and Lemru Denach Nafshech. And now we're gonna not only spread a rumor that you're sick, we're gonna spread a rumor that you died. Velaila Bach Tamidach, Velaibach Inashachrina, Adalagashumba de Kila Ata, Dinu Yade de Chaya Kalamemisa. Now, in terms of who's gonna be carrying your coffin, so it's gotta be your students. In other words, there's no way that we can have outsiders carrying the coffin because you're alive, you're not dead, and they're going to note the difference between live weight and dead weight. Avid Hachi. So, Rav Yochanan Zakkai did exactly as his nephew's plan. So, Nichnas bo Rebbe Elazar mitzadech of Rav Yeshua mitzadacher. And the students now were carrying the coffin of we're putting this in quotes, the dead Rav Yochanan Zakkai. And they're shuttling him out of Yerushalayim. Okay? Apparently burial, I don't know why, but burial was not done in Yerushalayim proper. And so now. I don't know. Whatever. It was understood that you are going to be given allowance to leave Yerushalayim to bury. So, kimatu lepischa by lemitkare. Now, as they're now leaving the city of Yerushalayim, so obviously there's a siege. And so it's a checkpoint. And so now what they want to do is, oh, your Rav Yochanan Zakkai is dead in the coffin. So let's just take a couple swords and put it through. Let's just make sure he's dead. So Amar Lahu Yom Rabban Dakra. And they pleaded with the checkpoint and they said, please don't do that. Because in other words, they're going to blame us for stabbing Rav Yochanan Zakkai. It's a terrible rumor and we don't want that to spread. So by limit chafe. So fine. So what they wanted to do was just simply apply pressure to the body and see whether or not he was actually dead or faking it. So armalu yomru rabban dachful. And again, when I say pressure to the body, they probably wanted to do more than just put pressure to the body, but whatever. They wanted to mutilate the body somehow, and they said, don't do it because they're going to blame us for doing it. And again, that would be awful. So paschale bava and nafak. So they opened up the gate. And they allowed Rav Yochanan Zakkai's body to be buried. And again, all this was a ruse just so that he would be able to escape Yerushalayim. Kimat al-Hasam, now where does he go? He goes to Rome. And he goes, visits Vespasian. Now I say he goes to Rome, by the way. Could be that Vespasian was somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. But whatever the case is.
Vespasian was invading Yerushalayim.
Yeah. Right. Okay, good. So he goes and sees Vespasian. Shamalech Malka. So Rav Yochanan Zakkai greets Vespasian. He says, Shamalach HaMelech. He calls him the king. So Amar Lei Mechave Treikatle. So Vespasian says to Rav Yochanan Zakkai, you're Chayv Misa not once, but twice. Twice. Number one. I'm not the king, you're calling me the king. That's it. That is a mori b'machus. In other words, I'm not the real king. And imalka ana ha'ina my lo asas l'gabai. Ad ha'ina my lo asas l'gabai. And if I'm really the king as you think I am, so then why did you wait to see me until this point in time? Meaning Rav Yochanan Zakkai was the leader of the Jewish people. He was a Nazi. So amaleu dekamar la malka ana. So so Ivra Malka. So Rav Yochanan Zakkai addresses both points. Point number one. Ibra. The truth of the matter is, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. Malka. No, you are the king. Meaning, you'll find out in just a moment, but you are in fact the king. And you have to be the king. Why? Dilav Malka. In other words, you're going to conquer Yerushalayim, and the only one who can conquer Yerushalayim is the king. So by definition, you have to be the king. Quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Ve'in adir al hamelech dechziv ha'yadiro mimenu, ein levanon el ha'beit ha'mikdash, she'nemar ha'artov ha'zev al levanon. And he just quotes a couple of other psukim that help us identify in Yeshayahu, who's the levanon, who's the adir. Adir is the king, and levanon is Yerushalayim. U'dekamar di malka ha'na'ama lo kasin l'gabai ha'idna, b'ryon di ispan lo shavkina. And then to your second point, which is, why didn't I come earlier? So, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was in Yerushalayim. There's a lot of tension in Yerushalayim. They're the Bionim. They didn't let us leave. In other words, I got good excuses. So, Amar Lei. Ilu chavish al dvash v'darkon karach aleha. So, la yashovrim es hachavis bishvil darkon. So, now, Vespasian says to Rav Yochanan Zakkai, I don't accept your excuse. That's a poor excuse in terms of why you haven't come earlier. And let me give you a mashal. Let's say I have a barrel of honey and I have a snake circling around the barrel. And now I want to get to the honey. So wouldn't I just simply break the barrel? So in other words, what you should have done is basically allow the walls to come down. And what do you have a Biryonim problem? So if you allow the Romans to come in, that'll take care of your Biryonim problem. Break the wall. Allow the walls to be broken. Ishtik. Rav Yochanan Zakkai didn't know how to respond to Vespasian. So, Karila Rav Yosef, Vitema, Rabbi Akiva, Meshav Chacham, and Machor, Vitatam Yisakel. So, to this, Rav Yosef also gives commentary, right? A couple times in today's daf, right? Amoraic commentary to events that occurred by the Chorm Bayis Sheni. And Rav Yosef says that, and in some versions it's Rabbi Akiva, but he said that really, Rav Yochanan Zakkai at that point in time could have responded to Vespasian, but the Meshiv Chacham HaMachor V'dat Tam Yisakel. Sometimes very smart people become foolish. Okay, and I know that's really critical, by the way, of Rav Yosef to comment on the fact that Rav Yochanan Zakkai didn't respond. Ibayla Lameimer Lei Shaklin Tzavta V'Shaklin LeDarkon V'Katlin Lei V'Chavisa Shavkin Lei. In other words, what could have been a proper response to the mushel of Vespasian? So a proper response is you have a snake wrapped around a barrel. So with a pair of tongs, you just simply take the snake and kill the snake. Okay. And leave the barrel alone. You don't have to break the barrel. Okay. Ad ha'chi asi priska alay merama amr le'kum demes le'kesar ve'amr hanichashiva derama le'usvich bereisha. And then, lo and behold, Vespasian received a message from Rome. And the message from Rome was, Caesar died, and you now are, and the Senate voted, and you're now going to be the new Roman emperor. Okay. Like Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai just told him it would happen. Havasayim Chan Mesana, the Gemara tells an interesting aside over here, a detail, right? And that is that at that point in time, Vespasian was wearing one shoe. Now, after receiving the news, he wanted to put on a second shoe, and lo ayo. So, but it wouldn't fit on his foot. So, by le mishlof he wanted to take off the one shoe that was already on, lo nafik, but it wouldn't come off. In other words, his feet expanded. In other words, like the English expression, you know, when you When you think high of yourself, you have a big head. So over here, Vespasian had a big foot, right? Two big feet. And so one wouldn't go on, the other one wouldn't come off. Amar my high, Amar lay, lo titzar. So he wants to understand. Rav Yochanan Zakkai, who was still there, said nothing to be shocked by, nothing to worry. So Shmur Tova, Aisalach, Dechsiv, Shmur Tova, Tadshein Etzem, or Tidashein Etzem, the Pasuk of Mishlei. So when you hear good news, so what happens is that your bones become fat. Okay, the Pasuk of Mishlei basically giving voice to this idea that when you are hearing something good about yourself, so you get inflated. So Elamai Tekante. So and by the way, right, the words we are, this is a Gadata. So, well, and right, in other words, it's built around history, but like a detail like this, like I'm not sure if we're supposed to take this detail literally or it's just simply messaging that's supposed to provide for us. Okay, in general, that's, you know, that's the way Agadata works. So Elamaita Kante, so Laisa Inish Dala Mitzvah Daitech Mine, Velichlach Kamach Dechsiv, Veruach Nichayat Yavesh Garim. So Vespasian says to Rav Yochanan Zakkai, what can I do, in order to remedy? And he says, here's what you do to remedy. And that is get somebody in front of you who you really don't like. And what's going to do is that your swelling is going to shrink. And that Avad Hachi and Ayo. And that's exactly what he did. His foot shrunk, and now he was able to put on his second shoe. Amalei ma'achud dechachmisa kulehai ad ha'ina amaylo asin legabai. So Vespasian says, Rav Yochanan Zakkai, clearly you've demonstrated how smart you are, and so I'm going to repeat a question that I asked you earlier. Why didn't you come earlier? So Amalei lo amalach. So he says, well, didn't we go over this? I told you, Biryonim, remember? That conversation didn't take place that long ago. Amalei ananami amrilach. So Vespasian said back to Rav Yochanan Zakkai, yeah, but I didn't like that answer. Okay. Obviously, an interesting detail over here in this Gemara. Repeat a question, repeat an answer, repeat a criticism of the answer. Not sure what is trying to be messaged over there. We continue. Amalei mezal zilna v'neshachrina mishadarna. So here's what's going to happen now. Now that I'm the Roman Emperor, so I have to go back to Rome. They're going to, and what they're going to do is they're going to send somebody in my place. Ela bai min aymide asanlach. But Vespasian says, Rav Yochanan Zakkai, but I'm going to give you requests. So make your requests. So, amar lei. So here are the requests of Rav Yochanan Zakkai to Vespasian. Number one, tenli yavne v'chachameha. So give me the city of Yavne, meaning I need a yeshiva. And v'shoshulta de Rabbi Gamliel. I need the family of Rabbi Gamliel. And finally, number three, asvasa de mesayin leila Rabbi Tzadok. And I need a remedy to cure Rabbi Tzadok. Okay. Kari Allah Rav Yosef. Again, Rav Yosef v'itema Reish Lakish, or, I'm sorry, v'itema Rabbi Kiva, and some say it's Rabbi Kiva, meshiv chacham emachor v'adatam yisakel. So, Rav Yosef again shares with us what he feels to be fair criticism of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Meaning, at that point in time, he had the ear of Vespasian. Vespasian offered him a request. Here should have been his wish, his request. And that is, don't conquer Yerushalayim right now. Meaning, leave Yerushalayim alone. That's what he should have said. Now, the Gemara over here defends Rav Yochanan Zakkai. V'hu savar, dilmakul lehai lo avid. Hatzalaporta nami lo havi. So he felt that was too big an ask. Okay, and so here we go with just so interesting. Basically, in other words, the second guessing of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Hey, did he really do the right thing? And it's just so interesting. The Gemara is more than ready to admit, or at least one Amora, which the Gemara is recording, is ready to admit. Maybe he didn't do the right thing. And the Gemara defends, no, maybe he did. And there is obviously. There is no conclusive answer as to whether or not what he did was correct or not correct. So now, as long as we went over request number three, which is a cure for Rabbi Tzadok, who we know fasted for 40 years, so how did they basically help him out of 40 years of fasting? So day number one, they gave him, they just gave him water. In other words, he couldn't basically do solids. Lamachar Mayid Sipuka. So next day the water was a little bit thicker. And they thickened up the water every day. So until finally his stomach was able to handle food and porta porta, right? In other words, incrementally, little by little. Az v'shadre letitas harasha. So now, Vespasian goes back to Rome. And now, who takes his place as general? So Titus. Amar e'eloheim atzura chasayo bo. The Gemara quotes the pasuk again from the end of Sefer Dvarim. So this is from the Shira, but Zet Titus Arasha. The pasuk is a reference to Titus, who basically is blaspheming, right? E'eloheim atzura chasayo bo. Where is Hashem? Meaning that is a pasuk in the Torah foretelling what this Titus is going to say. Shechir v'gidiv kapei mala. In other words, he was a blasphemer. So ma'asa tafazona bi'adav v'nechnos v'beis kach ha'kadosh v'yitzias v'yitzias v'torah v'avarala avera. So the Gemara here tells us that what Titus did is he took a zona, went into the Kodesh Kadashim, laid down a Sefer Torah, took the zona, did an avera on top of the Sefer Torah in the Kodesh Kadashim, natosai v'gidiv haparochet, took a sword, went into the parochas with the sword, nasenez v'ayadam v'atzvis v'yotzei. And the parocha started bleeding, but that of course is miraculous. So he thought at that point in time, okay, haragas atzmo, that's an expression. It means that he thought that he killed the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemer shagutz derecha bekerav moadecha, right? The your enemies roared in your appointed place. Shamu osasam osos, right? So they looked at signs in terms of indicating that they were in fact successful, right? That pasuk in Tehillim, again, the Gemara is assuming that the pasuk in Tehillim is a description of what we just went over. Abba Chanan Omer, mi kamocha chasin ka, mi kamocha chasin, so vikashe, shato shamani yotzevigi defosh alosa rasha v'shosek. And another pasuk in Tehillim describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are able to basically withhold and withstand, meaning you're seeing this kind of behavior done in the Kodesh HaKadashim, and meanwhile you allow it to happen. Another pasuk describing basically the same idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed restraint, tremendous restraint. So what Titus did is he took the parochas and he basically turned it into a basket. Took the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and brought it back. Right? The Arch of Titus. I'm sure everyone here knows. So, Gemara here quotes the pasuk in Koheles and the Gemara darshins. Al tekre kvurim ela kvutzim ve'al tekre vishtachu ela v'yishtabchu. And basically now we just interpreted the pasuk in Koheles as the kvurim to kvutzim. In other words, a collection. And yishtachu to yishtabchu. By collecting the kelim and the base of Mikdash, he did it to praise himself. Ika da amre kvurim amish da afilu milin demitmaran iglai lahun. In other words, those things which are generally hidden, the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, so he went ahead and he revealed them. In other words, generally speaking, nobody sees the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar alav nachshol shebiyam letovo. So now he's on a boat from Eretz Yisrael to head to Italy, back to Rome, in order to show the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So so a great wind now is coming in the sea, looking to drown the boat that has Titus on it. So Titus says, okay, I know this God. In other words, this God, so his strength comes in the form of water. Paro, Sisra, they were all drowned. So I get it. So in other words, that's his one move. He can only drown. So im giborhu liyabashav yasimim mochama. If this God is as powerful as he thinks he is, so instead of it going to his only move, So why doesn't he confront me on land? So Yatsa Baskol v'Amar lo. So Baskol came out and said the following to Titus. Rasha ben Rasha, then Menoshel Esav v'Rasha. So you're Rasha, son of Rasha, son of Esav, right? A descendant of Esav. Bir Yakali Yeshli Balame v'Yitushmo. I have a small insect. Amai Karalei Bir Yakala, de Ma'alna Islei. So Umafkana Leislei. The Gemara describes this insect as being able to ingest, but nothing comes out of this insect. It's so small. So Allah Livasha Vitasa Ima Muchama. So yeah, when you come to the land, you're gonna be doing battle with me, but all I'm gonna send is this really small insect, and that's all I need to defeat you. Allah Livasha Bayitosh Venechnas Bechot Mo. So they go to the dry land, and now this insect goes through the nostril of Titus. Vinikir Bamocho Shevashanim. And the insect now basically secures itself within the brain of Titus and is pecking on its brain for 7 years. And Titus is being tortured now for 7 years with the pecking insect. And as he's passing the blacksmith and the banging of the blacksmith, so Shama Kal Arzafta of Ishtik. And now as the insect now is hearing the banging, so the insect is now stopping to bang. So finally, Titus recognized how we can get temporary relief from the insect. Amra ika takanta kol yuma maisen nafcha umacha kamei lenachri yaivle arbezuse liyisrael amrle mistayach tekachazib asanach. So what he would do is he would hire people to bang in front of him to provide for him temporary relief. Now, if he hired a non-Jew, so he would pay him 4 zuz a day. If he hired a Jew, so he told the Jew, I'm not paying you. In other words, for you, you know what your reward is? You get to see me, your enemy, in the state and the condition that I am. That's your reward. Now, as far as temporary relief is concerned, it only worked for 30 days. In other words, at that point in time, the insect that was lodged within the brain basically became comfortable with the external noise, and the insect kept pecking away, even though there was banging that was done around Titus. So it was only a 30-day relief. Tanya Rav Pinchas ben Aruva Ani Aisa ben Gedolei Rami Chashemetz Patsos Malcha. So I was there amongst the Gedolei Ramim, Rav Pinchas tells us. And when Titus eventually died, they opened up his skull. So what they found is that this insect grew and grew, right? It's like a tumor, and it just kept growing, and it was the size of Shnei Salayim. Okay, and you understand, by the way, all these details over here, analyzed. In other words, in the Daf Yomi, we're doing none of it, but you understand every single point over here is analyzed, because there's messaging coming from every single word of the Gemara. And so obviously over here, as we're getting vast reportings of the size of the insect and what it actually weighed is representative of, and then fill in the blank. In other words, then obviously the Mefarshim do that. This insect, so the mouth was made of copper and the nails of it were made up of bronze. In other words, clearly over there, that is for the purposes of darshaning, meaning that's clearly for messaging. Ki hava kameis, and here we end today's daf. And when Titus dies, so Amar Lahu, he says to the people of to his people, liklalu agavra v'livijar lekimte ashev yame. So what I want you to do is I want you to burn my body and spread my ashes over the seven seas. Because what I don't want is I don't want the God of the Jewish people to find me afterwards. Because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be taken to task over that which I did over my lifetime. And so therefore, if you take my ashes and spread them over seven seas, he's not going to find me. I know that's a extraordinarily limited view of, you know, what's going to happen. And oh, by the way, in tomorrow's daf, we'll see what happened to him. And in the Olam HaEmes. Well, obviously, we're going to stop over here. And tomorrow, I got it.